Thank you, Amen, Lord. Thank you, you want to prepare us. Oh, yeah. Speak a word into our hearts that we can see the goal and that we can pursue this goal with our whole desire. Amen. We have meeting number 6. The headline is the goal of the overcomers is the Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. My heart is still beating from the song that we sing. It's so precious to think of the coming of the Lord. It's wonderful. We want to read about the goal of being overcomers, some verses in Revelation 3, verse 12. Let's read these verses and pray them. Revelation 3, 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who overcomes. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar in the temple of my God. He will go out no more. Shall go out no more. Never. No more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. That is a wonderful reward. It's a glorious reward. Can you imagine the name of God being written on you? The name of the Lord and the name of the New Jerusalem. For that, it's worthy to pay every price. If you want to understand why the Lord wants to write the name of the new Jerusalem on you, then you have to understand where the name comes from. Jerusalem is in the heart of God. If you look at the whole scripture, that's what's hidden in the heart of God. It's the desire of his heart. We can see that during the time when the Lord chose Abraham. And the Lord told Abraham, I will show you a location, and that was the Mount Moriah. He showed this to Abraham, this Mount Moriah. And the Lord said, in this location you shall sacrifice Isaac. And it said, Moriah means the Lord has chosen, the Lord picked a place. And astonishingly, it says about Abraham that he lived in tents in the good land with the heirs of the promise, because he waited for the city whose builder is God. God showed him his what's in his heart when he showed him Mount Moriah. He showed him this wonderful city that's in his heart. When Abraham saw that, he could only live in tents because he waited for the city. And this city, and 400 years later, when he brought them out of Egypt, then he said through Moses, I will choose a place where you should worship me. And when you come into the good land that I lead you into, when the people went into the good land, first of all, there are seven nations in that good land. And in this country, in this land, the people of Israel had to overcome these seven tribes, these seven nations. One of these nations was the Jebusites. The Jebusites had this location that the Lord had chosen. That's what they were living on. When Joshua went into the good land, they overcame many things. They didn't take the area of the Jebusites. They did not take Jerusalem. And then it says in Judges that Judah, he conquered the city. And he put it on fire, but they didn't take it. And then Benjamin also couldn't take Jerusalem. What happened? After Judah had conquered it, because no one appreciated it, then the enemy came and took it and built it up like a castle. And Benjamin couldn't take it. And you have to imagine this little area where God's heart was. It was taken by the enemies from the judges to David's time. There was no one who saw how important Jerusalem is for God. No one of the people of Israel was there who had a heart that understood God's heart. And that's why this area was occupied by the Jebusites. But then David, when he became king, he conquered Jerusalem. He saw that Jerusalem will be the city of the king. And even when he tried to conquer Jerusalem, they said, even the blind and the lame will cast you out. But David didn't believe them. He knew God had chosen it. Then Jerusalem became the city of the king. It was the city of the king. And in this city, the throne of the king was located. And after David took the city, later he saw even more. When he built his palace. He was in his palace and he saw what a wonderful kingdom he had received from God. And he saw how wonderful the Lord is, how great he is, how he took him there. And then there was a desire in his heart. I live in a palace, he said. And the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. And the first time after all this time, he understood was in the, what is in the heart of the Lord. And then he said, God said, I found a man after my heart, because he understood God's heart. And he had a desire to build a house for God. No one else had that before. That is something glorious. Finally, a man came that God could use to fulfill his deepest wish. And when David brought up this wish to build this temple, and from then on, his whole life was for the temple building. And even before that, yes, his whole life was to conquer the city and build the temple. That was a great goal of God, of David's life. And when you read Chronicles, in Chronicles it says, that David did everything and collected everything for the temple to be ready. But one more thing was missing. He didn't know where exactly. He didn't know exactly where to build the temple. He knew Jerusalem, but the exact location, the Mount Moriah, the Mount Zion, where the temple was going to stand, that was hidden from him. And what happened? David had started to count the people because he was prideful, and then he God judged the people, and he judged the people, and then he said, "Stop." And that was at the place of Ornan, a Jebusite. There was. Yeah, the enemy tried to keep the spot as long as he could. And this Jebusite, Ornan, when David saw this angel, he had a wish. He built an altar to the Lord and brought sacrifice and worshipped God. And then the Lord showed him. This is the location where the temple of the Lord is being built. And then David saw. Now he had the location and he had the materials. And not even just that. With all his might, I can't exaggerate, with everything he had, he gave everything to prepare everything for this house. Yeah, he collected 100,000 talents of gold. That's what it says in Chronic. Yeah, iron in masses, copper, and cedars, everything he collected. And that wasn't enough. And everything that he collected for the house of the Lord, and everything that he also collected for himself, he also gave it for the house. In Chronicle it says, 5,000 talents. From his own money he gave 5,000 talents. And then he asked the 12 elders of the tribe, And they each gave 8,000. Like, David gave as much as the 12 elders together. I was so impressed when I read that. How much did David love God and his purpose? There must be love. That was first love. That someone is willing to give so much for this purpose of God. It was wonderful. And not just that. God also showed him how he should build the house. In Chronicles, David says that the Spirit of God in me gave me the plan. And he drew the plan for the whole temple. David, through the Spirit of the Lord, he drew the plan and knew how the temple should look like. Such a revelation not everybody gets. That's not just anybody that the Lord showed it to. God saw it's a man after my heart. And this heart, I can write my plan. That was a heart that was ready to receive the plan of God. Why? Because he was aligned with God's purpose. And if we are aligned with God's purpose, then we will see the plan of the Lord. That's why it's important that our heart is for God and His kingdom. Otherwise, we will not see what's in His heart. This revelation is glorious, and God doesn't give it to everybody. He gives it to whom His heart is for God's heart. He didn't just get the plan of the house. He put the Levites and the singers in order. Everything David set up. One man. Wow. Do you see how much the Lord can do through one man? How far the Lord can go? That's what didn't happen for 400 years. He did with one man. He conquered Jerusalem. He got the materials, the location, the plan. David was a man after God's heart. I hope we're all like that. I hope we're all these Davids that have nothing else in our heart but God's purpose. Everything else is garbage compared to that. It's dust. And David, he even wasn't allowed to build it. The Lord told him, "You shed too much blood, but I will choose Solomon to," and he's a man of rest, and he shall build the house. I'm his father, he shall be my son, and he shall build my house. That's also a reward from the Lord. It wasn't just anybody who could build the house, but it was David's son. Even the one who built it, David prepared. Even Solomon came from David. That is glorious. That's a picture for a wonderful Christ. Christ is the true David who gave everything. He didn't leave anything. Everything was complete in God's plan. That's really this wonderful David that was absolute for God's purpose. The one who is in us is after God's heart. Christ in us is the hope of glory, but it's also the one who fulfills God's heart's desire. This Christ we have to know more. And I just want to mention one more point. Yeah. We heard about the way that's narrow, the narrow way that we heard about in the meeting yesterday. It's a very narrow way, difficult way, yeah. And this way has a goal. It's not just a difficult way to somewhere. I took a narrow way up the hill, and then after some time it went down. This narrow way has a goal. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. We have to see the goal. When we do not see the goal, then the broad way is more attractive. Then you don't see why should you pay the price, such a high price, to go on the difficult way. I'd rather take the broad way, the easy way. But when you see, when you see the goal and God puts His purpose into your heart, then this narrow way will be a joy for you. And then you won't complain, oh, I have to give up myself again. What should I do? But you say, hallelujah, my soul life has died. It's such a wonderful joy. You come to the Lord and, Lord, I come to you. David took this narrow way. And he collected gold on that way. Every battle he fought, every enemy he conquered, he got some gold. Yeah, he got it for the building of the house of the Lord. David's goal was to come to this point. All his battles that he fought, everything that he won through these battles, he used to build the house of the Lord. That we have to see. That's why David, from the beginning to the end, was a man of the heart of God, and this glorious. And we are going this way today. We go this narrow way. Every step we go, it takes a price. Every step, we have to put our soul life to death, crucify the flesh, turn to the Lord. You have to pay a price. But what does the Lord give you? He gives you gold. Wonderful. And the gold is for what? The gold is for the city of God. The gold is for the house of the Lord. That's why it's good to learn to overcome, because we have a goal. Every difficulty that we experience has a goal, that we gain gold, that we can collect treasures. It's not that we're rich people in Jerusalem, but the treasures are to build the house of God, the city of God. And that's what we collect for. And I want to encourage you, we overcome for this goal. In our daily life, we overcome to get to this goal, to build a living city of God. Some people think the heavenly Jerusalem of gold, and you can see wonderful gold streets, but you know where the material comes from? It's what the overcomers paid for. The gold that you collect today is what the Lord uses to build the city. And Peter said, we are living stones. The Lord is the cornerstone. We're not just any stones, but they have to be golden stones. The Lord will make us golden stones. Precious stones, eternal for God's purpose, for this wonderful city, for this glorious city, for the bride of the Lamb, that it come in the end, finally. What the Lord waits most for, not that the world becomes more and more corrupted. That's not what he was waiting for. He's waiting that this work is ready. He waits for the bride to be ready. That's the main thing the Lord is waiting for. And I tell you, if you love the Lord, you won't let him wait for long. If we love him, we say, Lord, you're waiting for so long. I want to accelerate your coming. I want to overcome every day. I want to prepare more gold. Then we will give ourselves for that. May the Lord open our eyes for this wonderful, glorious glow. It's worth it to live for this completely. The word of the Lord says, the world goes away and its lust, but yeah, who does the will of the Lord stays in eternity. I want to add one point about David. We read that David was a man after the heart of God, but he was still wasn't perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. But there were two points of he had God's purpose inside, and he was ready to repent. These two points are important for overcoming. Have the purpose of God in your heart and be ready to turn. We don't have to be without fault, but the Lord can accomplish his work with us if we can be corrected, if we repent. David made two huge mistakes. He married Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. But the Lord was merciful because he repented. And the son of Bathsheba is Solomon. He's so merciful that he turned this. And then he counted the people and God judged. And he showed them through that the temple, the location of the temple. That's why we should not give up. If we make a mistake, we stand up and get up and say, Lord, for your purpose, I want to give everything. Mm-hmm.